Taiwan Special, episode one for the week. This is Tuesday, February 18. Now, it's really interesting doing this last week. There's a buddy over here in Taiwan, and I don't want to give too much information. This guy is... Now, I'm not people phobic. I don't see human beings and then decide to run away for fear that I might actually have a new friend. I see humans, and I think that that's a good thing that they're alive and walking. So I have friends. And as the years go by, my number of friends increases instead of decreasing. Well, that's not true for everybody, but that is true for me. Okay. So what was it, Malcolm Gladwell said in The Tipping Point that, you know, all of us, when we see new people, we judge whether we think someone's going to be interesting, and people like Robert Horchow find them all interesting. That's a thought. All right. So this kid, he's in his 20s. You know, I met him when he was under 20. Basically an orphan. You know, I'm not going to say much, but you know, one of his parents is either dead or gone, and the other one is permanently hospitalized somehow. I don't know the full story, but the parents are out of the picture. He's lived in his own apartment since he was on his own, couldn't finish college. He's Christian, and all he can do is ask him. I mean, you know, lost his job because he got tired of the boss attacking him all the time. I mean, if a Taiwanese boss attacked you as a Westerner the way they attack everybody every day, you'd be able to sue him for big time money. It's amazing how absolutely, I mean, it's madness. You really wonder if these people are crazy. Now, I don't. I believe in society-wide insanity. I strongly believe that there is a society-wide complex of personality disorders in East Asian culture, and I don't know how much of it permeates Japan and Korea, but I know I can speak for Chinese culture, including everyone I see from mainland China. It's worse, but also throughout Taiwan, you've got what I think to be. I'm not an expert, but what I think to be. What are the personality clusters? No, let's go through. You've got cluster A, B, and C. They're 10 personality disorders. And what were they? There was one from cluster A, one from cluster B, and one from cluster C. And I think it was conditioned antisocial from cluster B. It was the, I think all three from cluster C, codependent and avoidant, from cluster, yeah, and obsessive compulsive. Obsessive compulsive is not about being organized. It's about being organized as a means of controlling other people. That's OCD. It was conditioned antisocial, and then also borderline disorder. Borderline disorder is more or less what I understand. It's we're talking fast come and go relationships, like just, you know, quick new friends and then lose them fast. And they call it borderline because it borderlines between like it's almost like it's some other type of an anxiety disorder or something like that. But that's a whole other, or a psychotic disorder. Like it's another thing. But borderline, we're talking like white and black, you know, flip flopping back and forth, you know, intense relationships that never last. Burnout. But then what was it from cluster A? Cluster A is the odd, bizarre, schizoid, schizotypal, and paranoid. I'd say paranoid disorder. There's a little bit of PPD. So that's it. So it's one from cluster A, two from cluster B, and all three of cluster C. And generally, all of society kind of has this ongoing certifiable, maybe not certified, but they've got these ongoing behaviors from all three of this. It's this consortium of insanity. And along with that, you've got basically societal-wide Stockholm syndrome. And that's where, you look up Stockholm syndrome, where people defend the abuser. And so, you know, all of Taiwan, you know, their government does incredibly stupid things. Incredible. I mean, just the other night, I was walking down the street and this car is parked in the beeping road. And I'm going, what? You know, the police go attack people for turning right at a red light in the middle of nowhere when there's no traffic going anyway. In a blinking, like, no, not blinking, the red light. Because it's illegal to turn in a red light. Because the people are so stupid, or whatever, maybe that's what the government thinks, that they don't know how to look, so we're going to not, okay, no one, just everyone stop, just no one turn. Like, that's what's going on in the government. Like, they don't know how to organize stuff. You know, there's a crowd of people, like 200 people, and someone is trying to manage, and that person just steps up and says, okay, everybody stop, just everybody just stop, just stop. Instead of going around and pointing a few people in a direction and gently getting the crowd where it needs to be, it's just someone just ordering everyone to be quiet because they don't know how to manage stuff. That childish leadership is running Taiwan. And so they don't allow even scooters to turn right on a red light. So but people do it all the time anyway. So they create a law that's unnecessary and hasslesome. And then they just define everybody as a criminal because it's a law that's not reasonable. They've got so many red lights everywhere you go. It's crazy. Okay. So, you know, you've got this kind of chaotic situation, this government that just is really stupid and just beats people down. And that, now in some ways, Taiwan's government's brilliant. Like, for example, how they're handling this virus thing. My goodness. I think they're handling it even better than Japan is, which is, that's saying a lot. I mean, Japan has butt washers on the public bathrooms. Yeah, no, there's this little control panel of specifically how to spray the inside of your butt on the public bathrooms. It washes your butt a trillion different ways. Yeah, that's right. It's ultra clean, germ-phobic Japan. Taiwanese might be handling this outbreak thing even better than they are. And that's saying a lot. The Taiwan's government can be pretty brilliant when they want to. But other times, they just beat people down and the people are used to it. And if you try to stand up and change something, all the other people will attack you. And, oh, you can't go change that. And the only person that they defend adamantly is the one abusing them because they just get used to it. It's Stockholm Syndrome, along with this personality disorder, you know, behavioral personality disorder cluster group thing all over. Anyhow. No, I'm not saying there's formal diagnoses. I'm just saying it's as if the whole society has kind of like a society-wide insanity. And it reminds me of Jordan Peterson. What do I think of Jordan Peterson? Here's what I think of Jordan Peterson. I think Jordan Peterson thinks that Jordan Peterson is doing psychotherapy on the world. That's what I think about Jordan Peterson. Do I agree with him? Do I disagree with him? Oh, no. I'm not going to make it that easy. I've got to be different and weird. You've got to figure out whether I'd agree with Jordan Peterson. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to say, oh, well, one other thing. I think that he could have done a better job defending the Bible, which I did a little YouTube series on that, where I comment on some of the debates. It'd be on the Jesse Steele YouTube channel. YouTube.com/Jesse Steele and look for the Jordan Peterson series. But outside of that, he could have done a better job of Bible. And I think he's doing society-wide psychotherapy. I think that that's what he sees he's kind of doing. Because you see him get up there. He's got the shrink face on. You know, the corners of his mouth are kind of turned on, like he's sort of angry and indifferent and just doesn't really care at all. You know, the way he talks to people on stage is the way that a shrink is supposed to talk to you in the shrink session, right? I think that he thinks that he's doing psychotherapy to the world. Because the whole world is mentally sick. It's like you get, everyone's fine individually, but they get in a group, all of a sudden there's this, you know, the group think is a dysfunctional group think. So he's doing psychotherapy to the group think. I think that he thinks that. I don't know that he'd ever admit that, because if he said it, then it wouldn't work. I'm not doing psychotherapy on you. I'm just listening. Right. That's psychotherapy. Right. So, no, I would never ask him that because his answer wouldn't matter. Where was I going with all this? Oh, yeah, that's right. The kid got tired of his boss being verbally abusive. The kid does not have or want Stockholm syndrome. And the kid just told the boss, I'm done with you. And left. Now, I think that's great. He didn't walk off, but he told the boss, I don't want to work here anymore. And the boss was like, yay. What's he going to do now? He's alone in the world. Doesn't have pension. Lives by himself. Lives off his own money. Has no one. If he loses a job, he's homeless. He doesn't have many Taiwanese friends. Just, we're talking orphan. Doesn't go to school. Not much of a social life. And his primary worry. Now, that this is a wonderful thing. His primary concern is whether God is pleased with him. Now, that's what we call a moral compass. That's someone who's more concerned about whether it's the right thing. Was it the right thing for me to get angry at this boss and leave? And I'm telling him, yeah, because it means you don't have Stockholm syndrome. You're not mentally ill wanting to keep being oppressed. There's a line that you don't allow people to cross with you. Your dignity isn't for sale. You're not going to go off and become a slave just because someone threatens your house. You're not going to go off and commit some crime just because you got to eat. See, that's what integrity, honesty, bribery, and moral upstanding and ethics and dishonesty and the whole discussion is all about. If someone threatens to take away your home, will you do the wrong thing? Because you got to eat. Thank you for smoking. The yuppie Nuremberg defense. We all got to pay the mortgage. You know? You know, that's it's hard. You know, someone threatens your family, so now all of a sudden you'll go become a criminal? You know, see, for me, that's not a moral dilemma. I this is the right thing to do. It's a line. You don't cross it. Don't cross it means don't cross it. Now, you see, a lot of people don't think about this stuff in advance. A lot of people are not resolved in life. No, I want to do the right thing. And okay, then someone threatens your family. Oh, okay, I'll do the wrong thing. It's like, okay, that's someone that didn't really sit down and think through what they want. As I was talking about yesterday, that I do this life coaching thing to help people think through stuff. We got to know our values. Think through ahead of time, plan out what you're going to do, and then go do it. And this kid has his morals figured out. His boss is abusing him. For a long time, he keeps putting up with it, trying to be patient. One day, he's just done. Out of body experience. I don't want to work here anymore. Boss, fine. Okay. You're fired. Great. You quit. I accept resignation. Bye. Fired, quit, whatever. He quit. So, yeah. Was that the right thing to do? I told him, yeah. I said, it is. You're standing up for something. You're standing up for yourself. You're mentally healthy. You're not a mental basket case who loves that kind of stuff. I just want that boss to keep being mean to me. I'll complain, but secretly I like it. I'll defend the abuser. He's not like that. So if he's able to stand up to his boss, he'll stand up to other things in society. Maybe that's a good thing. Yeah, maybe that's a good thing, huh? Yeah, maybe that's a good thing. No, I've just had some inspiration. I'm not going to tell you. Maybe you know what it is, but I had some inspiration. I'll leave it at that. But I'm dealing with this kid, and I'll tell you what. I've been teaching him computer. I've been helping him with a bunch of stuff. And, it's amazing the people you meet. I would never know this guy. I would never know this guy if I didn't think that all people are fascinating. If I was afraid of people, if I wanted to have fewer friends as time goes by, if I was scared of friendship, I wouldn't know this guy. But the way things look now, who knows what happens on the road with people that both have a moral compass and have similar affections. I'll leave it at that. Fascinating day. I think I mentioned a little bit about last week. Yeah, tomorrow, I think, I'll talk about Taiwan and the virus. Everyone's freaking out about the virus. See you tomorrow.